I am not an expert. I've never published a book or taught a class, but I love quilting, and I love talking about quilting. I make a lot of mistakes, but I like to think that sometimes I learn from them and get just a little bit better. If hearing about someone else's goofs and mess-ups makes you feel better about yours, then I've done my job. So join me now as we talk about quilting for the rest of us. Hey, I'm Sandy, and I'm a quilter, and welcome to episode 218, in which I leaned into a mistake, and I'm recording this on Monday, April 1st, 2024. No, it's not April Fool's. I can't believe it's April, but I'll get over myself. For those of you who had celebrated a holiday this past weekend, I hope you had a wonderful one. I mentioned on my last episode, we had a family birthday party on Saturday with a Kentucky Derby theme. That was very nice. It was good to see folks again. Excellent food. Ate too much. Then we had Sunday, we went to church, and then we took my mother-in-law to brunch at a new restaurant for us, but it was very good. Same theme. Good to see her again. Excellent food. Ate too much. I slept when I got home on Sunday afternoon because that espresso martini at brunch pretty much canceled itself out, the espresso versus the martini piece. But after my nap, I did get back to working in my sewing room for a bit, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. Update on the storm at sea. I am still trying to find a place to quilt it, so I may end up just dropping it off somewhere this week and hoping for the best. The couple of long-arm quilters I've contacted around here, one wasn't able to get into it until late July, and the other one never responded to my email. So I am still trying to figure that out. Unfortunately, in the last little while since I've really been podcasting, I used to live right in the midst of, I was pretty equidistant among maybe four or five different quilt shops, and almost all of them have closed at this point. So I've got one quilt shop that's maybe 20 minutes from me, but they carry a variety of fabric. I shouldn't say it's not really a quilt shop. It's a sewing shop. So they have a variety of fabrics. And, you know, they do have quilter's cotton, but it's not the vast collection of which you would normally find in a designated quilt shop. And they do long arm quilting, but because they're one of the few left open anymore, they are also fairly backed up. That's the place where I often rent long arm time. And I'd originally thought about doing that, although again, it's, as you remember, I talked about this on a previous episode, it would take me a long time to do, and so for me to try to get my schedule around what I think I might actually, now that I'm talking this through and thinking, hearing myself talk, maybe I'll go in, because you can reserve time on it online, and what I might do is go ahead and reserve time, and then if I can't find anyone else to do it, then at least I'll have that time confirmed. Maybe that's what I'll do. Anyway, so I am still working on that. I am looking forward. I suppose I should actually get the backing done, but boy, I'm putting that off. I hate doing backing for big quilts. I just hate dealing with that much fabric all at once. Okay, I'm going to, no more storm at sea for the time being. Here's the good news. The wonky log cabin, the top is ready to be finally pieced together. So I had two layouts I was kind of playing with. I had posted them both on Instagram, and I had my daughter look at them. I often go to her for a second opinion. And we both agreed that we liked the version in which the log cabin blocks were set on point because they kind of look like flowers. And the baby-to-be's middle name is a floral name, so it just seems to fit. Plus, it's just a little more interesting than the standard, you know, doing it kind of a normal log cabin block layout. So my bigger question around doing it on point was that makes the whole quilt bigger, and this is a baby quilt. I seem to have a theme that my quilts tend to keep coming out a lot bigger than I expect them to, and I suppose that's of a type, because when I was doing my doctor of ministry, my papers kept ending up being really long compared to what they needed to be. So apparently I just, you know, I think big. But in any case, once I decided to do it on point, I did a quick Google and found allpeoplequilt.com has a great downloadable reference chart for setting and corner triangles on point to figure out, you know, if your block is X size, then your setting triangles, you cut them this size, and your corner triangles, you cut them this size. And once I had that and was able to kind of do the math, I realized I had enough of my leftover background fabric to do everything I needed to do. And once I had those cuts done, I only had enough of that last fabric to do 2 2.5 strips and 1 1.5 strip for my strip stash. So it felt good using up some yardage that had been in my stash for a little while. And now I've got a couple of white on white strips for, you know, already pre-cut for 2.5 or 1.5. So that felt good to have that done. I do still have some scraps from the other fabrics I used in there that I need to cut up, but I haven't gotten to that yet. Frankly, that's the kind of thing I wait until I'm just too mentally fried to do any real quilting. So I'll just cut scraps, and especially using my AccuQuilt dies, I'll just kind of run stuff through and do what I can to minimize just random chunks of fabric sitting on the side of my cutting table. I did have to figure out the border. Originally, with my original layout that I was going to do, and because of the size of the quilt, I wasn't going to do a border. I was just going to do like a contrasting binding or something to kind of give it a little bit of a frame. But once I did the on point and stuck the setting triangles on there and everything, it feels like it needs a border. So, you know, yeah, it's going to be a big baby quilt. I'll call it a toddler quilt. This is a quilt that this baby will grow into. Because it's all black, white, and red with primarily a white background, I'm going to do a red inner border, maybe 1.5 to 2 inches-ish. I don't want it to be real wide, just enough to kind of frame it and be a nice accent. And then I found in my stash a black and white, essentially a diagonal plaid. It looks like lattice. It's just black diamonds on white background. And when I held it up next to it, it'll really be perfect. I actually didn't think I had any suitable border prints. And I had another one I was kind of looking at, but I was like, no, it just felt too adult for what, you know, this baby quilt. And then I found this one and immediately thought, oh, this will be the perfect way to use up this border, this fabric, because the fabric itself would actually probably be kind of tricky to use any other way. I'm not entirely sure where I got it from, how long it's been in my stash. It might be related to a previous baby quilt I did for a baby who is now 7 years old, and that one she actually got when she was a baby. So it was a few years ago that I did it. That one was also black, white, and red. So I'm thinking at that point I might have stashed a bunch of black and whites as I was kind of getting ready to do the quilt, and then that's one that just didn't get used. But in any case, I think it'll work really well with this quilt. It is going to be a little bit tight to make sure that I have enough of this fabric to do a border. So my border is only going to be as wide as I can actually have it be with this particular fabric. I'm going to wait till I have the centerpiece, obviously, and do all the math and then figure out how wide I can get away with. If it's really short, I'll use cornerstones. You know, that's an old trick to extend your border fabric a little bit, is to put cornerstones in there. And I have enough orphan blocks, shall we call them, of the blocks from this project that I was messing up on and just set aside and kind of started over. So I've got a bunch of those. And if I needed to, I could cut down to, you know, one of the rounds or round one or two or whatever I needed to do to turn it into a cornerstone. And actually, that could be kind of cute. So I'm keeping that idea sort of in the offing, depending on where I am with the border, and if I decide, actually, that would be cute, even if I had plenty of fabric or whatever. So, you know, those are decisions I will be making as I'm piecing the final center part together. I was actually going to try to get that done today. I did have today off and originally planned to spend most of the day in my sewing room just finishing up that piece, but then I ended up, the morning got away from me while I was we're again doing some other stuff online that we needed to do for home. And then I had an appointment this afternoon and some errands to run. So it just ended up not happening. But I'm okay with that because I got so much done this weekend. I'm feeling very good about my progress. And I think all I'll do tonight is maybe I'll just do a little bit of my English paper piecing while we're watching TV or whatever. And that way I'll feel like I at least did a little bit of sewing today. Meanwhile, I did want to get this podcast episode posted because the rest of this week I've got a lot of evening meetings. And then next weekend I'm traveling. And between that and hitting the ground running when I get home, I don't know that I'm going to get an episode out for, I think it'll be 2 weeks before the next one. And I'm not solidly enough yet back in this habit to want it to go too long because I'm afraid I'll fall out of the habit again. So here we go. I'm trying to stay a good little podcaster. So anyway, back to the title of this episode in which I leaned into a mistake. So yes, I made another mistake as I was doing the final trim on these wonky log cabin blocks. And at first I was kind of castigating myself for not paying close enough attention and you know, was I in too much of a hurry and how did I manage to do this? And yes, all of that's true. I am not cutting myself too much slack here. However, when I was trying to figure out how it happened, how did I make this kind of a mistake, I realized that actually that I have a design suggestion for the Creative Grids wonky log cabin ruler because it kind of leads you down the garden path, as it were. And I imagine it's not just the wonky log cabin. I haven't worked with the regular, well, I did a couple of test blocks, but not enough for it to sink into my head whether they have the same design issue. So let me try to describe this. On, well, really any of these, but on the wonky log cabin, the ruler is printed, you know, sort of wonked, as it were. So it has a series of smaller squares that kind of go semi across the diagonal of the ruler, and you line up that the appropriately labeled center square on the ruler with the center square of your block. And once you've done that, it lines up the outer edge of the ruler in the right way for you to trim off two sides of your block. And then you flip your block, you flip the ruler, you find the related center square drawing on the other side of the ruler, the other corner of it. You line it up again, you trim off the other two sides. Well, every time, and then those center squares kind of move towards the center of the square as your block gets bigger. So every time you're looking at a different set of center squares to line up, it sounds much more confusing. And it does take a minute to orient your brain, particularly on the wonky one, because nothing lines up. You know, you're visually messing with your mind as you're doing this because you're cutting it kind of on an angle. Instead of straight logs, you're cutting more wedges every time. So you do have to pay more attention with the wonky log cabin ruler. But the way the thing is designed is not only do you have the center square to line up with your center square, there's a second marked set of lines on the ruler that you line up with the edges of where the trimmed center square, or the trimmed block itself should be. So every time I'm lining it up, I'm lining up the center square, but then I'm also looking for this solid line a few inches away that says, this is where the edge of your block should be. So your center square, edge of your block, and then you trim. And then you flip everything around, center square, edge of your block, trim. In all inner cases, so in every round except the final one, the line where the edge of the block is supposed to be is a solid line. And then a quarter inch within it, there's a dotted line that says this is where the seam would be. So you can visually see that quarter inch width between where the dotted line or your sewing line would be and the solid line and the outer edge of your block would be. So this is going to be your reference point every time. Solid line outside of the block. So I'm trucking through. I've done all that. And by now, I've hit, by the time I get to the final trim, I have now done this process. I had 16 total blocks, and I'm on the third round. So I've already done this process, you know, 32 times, I guess. And by now, I'm no longer having to read the directions every time I do it. I do sit and remind myself, okay, I'm on the light side, that's the A side or the B side or whatever. I'm kind of going through that. But I put my final block, the first block of my final one, down, look for the solid line, trimmed the block, and then I realized, wait a minute, now that solid line is a quarter inch to the inside of the ruler. So what they have done on the final block is you're supposed to use the outside edge of the ruler. Of course, that makes sense. However, you are so trained by now to line up with that solid line, you automatically do it, or at least I did. My brain didn't even stop to think about it. I saw a solid line, line it up, boom, whack off two sides, and then I realize, hold up. This is not going to work. And I turned everything around, and of course, it's not going to work. What I've now done is trimmed my block a quarter inch too small on one side, on two corners, or on two sides with one corner. So I'm sitting there for a minute looking at it and, you know, cussing just a little bit. There's no good quilt that gets made without a little cussing somewhere in it. That's part of the process. You know, I'm sitting there going, crap, I don't want to have to make another block. I don't want to. But, you know, you can't put something back that you've cut off. It's like you can't take salt out. You can only add it in. So as I thought through and figured out what my best bet was, I decided the best thing to do was to now keep making that same mistake every time so that at least all the blocks would be identical. So I did it. Every single block I trimmed wrong intentionally just to make sure I had 16 identically sized, identically trimmed blocks. Then when I got it done, I then put away that wonky log cabin ruler. I was now done with it. Pulled out my usual Creative Grids 12-inch square ruler and figured out now, basically, I trimmed all the blocks down. They were at that point, they were coming to 10 and a quarter, kind of square. So what I did is I had, well, this is going to be basically the corner where the white and the colored parts of the cabin come together. I did the same corner on every single one. So it was actually the opposite corner of what I had trimmed shy on the last one. But this time I only trimmed 10 and an eighth, or I trimmed all the blocks down to 10 and an eighth. So essentially I lopped an eighth of an inch off one side. So if you really measured the blocks, they would be an eighth of an inch bigger. How to describe it? The logs on one side are going to be an eighth of an inch wider than the logs on the other side. But that's why I chose the corner I did to cut off the white side and black side, because those are the two most visually dominant pieces in there. There's a, you know, a black log outlines. I used a black for the largest of both the logs. And then the other side is white. And the black and the white, of course, are visually dominant. That's what you see first when you look at the quilt. So cutting those down a little bit means overall it's not going to be as noticeable, I hope anyway. And, you know, the baby's not going to care, so ipso facto, I don't care. So I am telling you this whole story not to once again say, cheese-a-me crickets, I wish I would stop and think once in a while. But I am saying it more to say, dear listeners, pay attention to your ruler. Don't assume it always has your best interest at heart. And this really is a design flaw. If they're going to use a solid line for lining yourself up on the edge and the dotted line for the seam line, then the very last cut, they should not have a solid line. Now suddenly meaning this is where this, they should have put another dotted line, because that would have been a visual cue that, by the way, this means something different this time, folks, than it did last time. So anyway, I got away with it. And everything is now all lined up on my design wall. I just need to get it pieced together. That's not going to take me all that long. Famous last words. I should really learn something and not keep saying things like that. It'll probably still be up there in 3 weeks when I finally get back to it. But I am going to do my best to keep plugging away at it a little bit at a time this week. I mean, the whole thing, because like I said, I'm going to be out of town this coming weekend, and I'm always pretty wiped when I get back from those trips. It'll take me a few days to really get back into the swing of things. It's going to be a little while before I can get back to it and totally finish it, but I'm pleased with the progress I made this weekend so forth. So then after pretty much last night, I kind of fried at about 6:30, 7 o'clock, mentally fried. So when I was downstairs watching TV after dinner, I just played in EQ8. I have EQ8 on an extremely old laptop computer, which I'm waiting for it to just bite the dust. But anyway, it's good enough for EQ8. And so I've been messing around with the next wedding quilt, the next log cabin that I'm going to do. I played with log cabin arrangements, just a bunch of them. You know, EQ8 really at its most basic is a really souped up coloring book. That's really what it is. So I was just playing around with, I think I came up with about 20 different options of ways you could lay out log cabin blocks in this particular size quilt. And then I had my daughter look at it and her cat. Her cat came over and helped her by looking over her shoulder at the screen. And they picked one of the designs that was in my top three. I'm still not 100%, but I've got a while before I have to make the layout decision. I was, at this point, I just wanted to get all the measurements and everything in there so that I knew how many blocks I had to do. And the final answer to that right now is, from what I remember, is 72, that I have to do 72 blocks. I'm doing 8 across, 9 down. That gets it, because it's a 12-inch finish block, so that gets it to a roughly a king size. And that feels strangely doable, given that my Storm at Sea quilt was 120 blocks. When I realized that this one was, you know, 40 blocks less, I thought, you know, someday I'll have to tell my nieces, I really, you know, I loved you 40 blocks less than your sister, but, you know, get over it. So I know the number of blocks I have to do. Now I'm kind of thinking through the best way to approach the cutting. Again, I have the log cabin die, and I have decided I'm going to do that because I do want the thinner blocks. But if I want it scrappy, that creates some other questions around how am I cutting these pieces on this die and all of that. So I'm just going to kind of start poking away at that. That's something I can, as long as I have everything laid out and I kind of know what I'm doing, which is always the question, you know, I can run a couple of die passes through the die, you know, quickly between phone calls or whatever. If I just need a 10-minute break from something, I can do a quick pass and cut some strips. I do have my organizational system. I went to the dollar store and I bought 12 very narrow little plastic containers that stack. I think they were 3 for $1. So spent $4 and got 12 skinny containers, and I've got each one labeled. The logs on the die are labeled 1 through 12, so I've got them each labeled 1 to 12, and I just put them on the cutting table behind my AccuQuilt, and as I pull every die off, I immediately slap them into the appropriate container. So I think at this point, I'm just going to start collecting strips. Because honestly, if I end up with more strips than I need for 72, that's fine. I mean, I will be continuing to make log cabins into the future. So whatever I cut will get used at some point. But that's my plan. That's really kind of all I have to talk about today. This is going to be a short episode. Like I said, at this point, I am trying to do more about getting into the habit of podcasting than worrying too much about do I have enough to talk about on any given episode. So, you know, you have a gift. It's a short episode. It won't take you much to get through. I might start doing things like talking about books I'm reading or, you know, TV shows or whatever, but I might. I'm not going to do that today because I haven't put my thoughts together yet. But, you know, if you'd be interested, let me know. Otherwise, I don't know. You know, go ahead and give me some feedback. Let me know kind of if there's other things that you would like to hear me talk about, but know that there's a lot I don't know. I guess I'll just leave it at that. That will be all for this episode. I do hope you will talk to me because once you start talking to me, I do have more to say. You can reach me in any number of ways, and I'm looking up where I have it written down because I still don't have this part memorized again yet. So you can email me at sandyquilts@gmail.com, Sandy with a Y, Quilts with a Z. You can follow me on Instagram and Pinterest in both of those places. I'm Sandy with a Y, Quilts with a Z. You can friend me on Goodreads. You can like the Quilting for the Rest of Us page on Facebook. You can join the Quilting for the Rest of Us Kiva team and do good all over the world. And you can find links for all of that and my blog at www.quiltingfortherestofus.com. Until next time, go get your quilty on.
Quilting for the Rest of Us is dedicated to Shirley. Love you, Mom.